The detention of a teen from Oakland County has exploded into America's consciousness this week, raising awareness of how Black boys and girls are perceived within education and justice circles. The story from the investigative nonprofit ProPublica is about a teenager who they're calling Grace. Like a lot of teens, she's had a bumpy relationship with her mother. She's raising Grace by herself. Police have been called to the home a few times, and Grace was on probation. She was then taken from her mother's custody in May after failing to complete an online homework assignment. Today, Oakland County Executive David Coulter released a statement in response to the story. He says he wants a review of the decision to detain the teen over missed schoolwork. Jody Cohen is the Chicago-based reporter who broke this story. She joins us now. Jody, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Do you mind telling us a bit about how you learned of Grace's case?
Sure. I learned about Grace's case when I got a phone call. Journalists get phone calls out of the blue all the time. And this was a phone call from someone who asked, is there a ProPublica Michigan? And I had just written about some issues related to difficulties that students with special needs were having with remote learning. And the caller, who was Grace's mother, said, well, I want to tell you about a situation here. And I said, okay, well, we don't have a ProPublica Michigan, but I'm based in Illinois. I write about Illinois stories, but we do cover national issues. And why don't you tell me what's going on? And we talked, and I decided to write about the story, or learn more about it first, of course, and report on it. And I went to Michigan and learned about Grace's case.
So Grace's mother, who you refer to as Cherise, I'm assuming that that's not her real name.
Right.
They live together in Oakland County. Grace's high school is in Beverly Hills. Cherise has a white-collar job and became a single mother kind of late in life, unexpectedly. Will you tell us how they came in contact with the juvenile justice system?
Yes. When Grace was a teenager, as you said in the intro, the mother reached out to the police a few times. She was having trouble with her daughter. They were fighting, and there were incidents, and some of it became physical. And she turned to the police for help, and the daughter entered a diversion program through the court, which means she's not charged with anything, but agrees to get help. And she was in that program, actually ended it early. And then late last year, there were, at the end of 2019, there were two incidents that led to the prosecutor's office filing charges against her. One involved an assault against her mother. They were fighting on the street when the mother was in her car and somebody called police. And the mother was crying out for help. And the second petition, which is a charge against a juvenile, it's called a petition, related to the girl's theft of a cell phone, another student's cell phone at school.
Now, back in April, the family had a juvenile court hearing on the larceny and assault charges against Grace. And that was, of course, conducted via Zoom since the courts had been shut down. What happened in that hearing? And what was Grace's status as of this spring?
Leading up to the hearing on the charges, things were just going along as normal, really, in the family's life. The pandemic hit in the beginning of March, and then they were at home like everybody else. And then there was a hearing in mid-April held via Zoom on the two charges.
Yeah. What did the judge decide at that time?
At the April hearing, it was interesting. I did go and watch the recordings of all these hearings because they were recorded via Zoom, and everybody was remote. So the judge was remote, the prosecutor was remote, the defense attorney, the girl and her mother, everybody's remote. And the caseworker for the court who reviews the history of the case and what has been going on with the family and the girl recommended that she be placed in Children's Village to get help. And the judge decided No, because of the pandemic, she was going to allow her to stay home, and she put her on what's called intensive probation, which means that there are regular check-ins with the caseworker every day. She had a GPS tether, and she had to obey all laws, and she had to do her schoolwork.
Yeah. There was a day that came in May when Grace failed to submit some of that online schoolwork. Can you explain what happened after that?
It wasn't so much that she failed to submit the work. It's that her mother, really more in confidence, was just out of frustration saying to the caseworker, she's not getting her work done. And it wasn't that there was a specific assignment necessarily that needed to be in, although she did have daily assignments she was supposed to do, but it was more of this general, like, she's not getting up for school, she's not doing her schoolwork. And Grace told the caseworker too, like, this is overwhelming and this is hard for me. And she reached out to her teacher, and they decided that she needed some one-on-one tutoring and decided to do that every day. Now, that tutoring started the day after the caseworker filed the violation of probation for not doing schoolwork.
Jody, back in March, Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued an executive order, and she said that young people who violate probation should not be kept in state custody unless directed by a court order. So I take it this case went back to the Oakland County family judge, Mary Ellen Brennan, at this point to see what should happen?
Yes. So the case went back on May 14th, at the caseworker's recommendation. The prosecutor brought the case back. Grace and her mother appeared in court in masks. So did the caseworker and the prosecutor. Her court-appointed attorney appeared remote, and the judge decided that because she did not do her schoolwork, which was a condition of probation, that she had violated probation. And she said it was zero tolerance, and ordered that she be detained at Children's Village.
And that's where Grace is today?
Yes, she is there today. As the story says, the mom counts every day that she's there. And, like, by number, today is, it's been more than 60 days, so it, right, it's been just over 2 months. And she originally was in secure detention, which is more like a jail, right? You're in a room from 8:30 p.m. to 8:30 a.m. It's very regimented. You wear a jail uniform, jail-looking uniform. She has since been moved to a residential side, so it's more of a long-term treatment part of Children's Village, mm-hmm, rather than the secure detention. But she's still there.
Have you drawn any conclusions about what happened to this young woman who is Black and who's living in a mostly white county and who was interacting with mostly white administrators and people in this course of her brush with the juvenile justice system?
What I'm hearing is that the particulars of this case are likely unusual, that she was detained for violating probation for not doing schoolwork, as opposed to some other new charge or detained for a new offense. That part is, I'm hearing, is, you know, likely an anomaly. In researching the story, we looked at racial disparity data, which is kept by the state, not from every county, because I believe there's no requirement that counties report this to the state, but the state does track what they call disproportionate minority contact. And what you can see in that data is that from 2016 to this year, there are, in Oakland County, about 15% of the youth are African American, but about 42% of the cases that are referred to juvenile court are of Black youth.
We can talk a lot about checks and balances in an individual case, but have you been thinking about what the remedy might be for the kind of systemic problems that land a Black girl in custody like this?
One thing that's been really interesting since the story was published, which was only, you know, yesterday, is that you can see people talking in Oakland County and in Michigan about those issues. And that's a conversation that is happening like grassroots right now, which is really, really interesting to see. So it's not for me to say, but there is a there's community building around this. And maybe there will be ideas and plans that come out of that.
Jody Cohen is a reporter for ProPublica based in Detroit. You can read her story about Grace and Charisse and the incidents that led Grace into state custody in Oakland County online. Jody, thanks very much.
Thank you.